want to especially welcome all of you here, but also the visitors that are here in our midst. And we have some exciting news in our midst. I heard from Justin and Christina there was something happening, something going on. That was good to hear. Way to go. Way to go. That's exciting news. We want to take a brief look at some of our announcements. Marilyn, Mitch, why don't you come up right away while you're here? Meantime, Marilyn said that the mitten tree is up in the foyer, and it's there for a reason, for you and I to put scarves and toques and mittens and jackets and stuff on there. But just because we load it up next Sunday does not mean that if it's empty the Sunday after, that it actually was for nothing. It means that it's got taken down, the stuff, and got to distributed to people that were needy of it, jackets and toques and mittens. So take heart. If it gets empty, that's a good thing. That means there was something on it. Let's participate in that.
Good morning. I just want to draw your attention to the accountant's favorite part of the bulletin, and that would be the numbers. So we're getting into the end of November and approaching December, which is our favorite time of year for giving. So, as you can see, our expenses to November are just shy of $300,000, and we've brought in about $268,000. So the deficit looks appealing at only $26,000, but what we need to consider is our goal that we set at the beginning of the year, which was $375,000. So the reason that our expenses aren't quite that high at this point relates to our budgeted amount for redoing the parking lot. And so our plan is to do that this upcoming year, next spring, summertime. And so what we did was we budgeted for about half of that project. So ideally, if we can bring in the amount that we budgeted for, this $375,000, we could go into next year, budget the other half, and be able to do the project without taking on any debt. Now, as many of you know, as a homeowner with a mortgage, debt is not quite as fun as it sounds. So if we can all pull together, get this done, then we don't have to deal with lovely debt payments. So thank you.
On that note, are there any other announcements that any of you would like to make or that should be highlighted? Maury, you were lifting your hand there, so. Okay, just checking. This week, we see the return of John and Natalie and Peyton. Well, not the return of Peyton, but the coming home of Peyton. That's a different. We are excited to and looking forward to seeing them again and to see what they will be able to teach us from what they've experienced in Chiang Mai. And as we continue to pray for them and their families in this transition, we also want to pray for the Boys and Girls Clubs and their leaders and the cookie bakers. We want to pray for Tenley and Nettie and Tim and Dave Rempel and Bernie Kaler and Kelly Fair and Austin Penner and all of their family members, as they're going through a variety of things. Helen Jansen and Jake Rempel in the care homes, and so on. And we know of more people that are not mentioned, I'm sure. I would like you to take note of the church calendar there, and as it pertains to you on this Sunday, we are celebrating is not quite the right word, commemorating Memorial Sunday. And I find it instructional that we have just had Remembrance Day just a few weeks ago. And then as I prepared for this, I commemorated, as I thought about this and wondered about this, what does Remembrance Day actually, how does it differ from what we're doing today, commemorating? Is it different? Should it be different? Do you remember the same way? Are we thanking them for what they went through so that we don't have to go through the same thing? Is that what we're commemorating? Am I allowing or slash inviting God to use me in his kingdom work so that others can benefit from it? If that's the reasons we are doing this, then we are doing it for the right reasons. Remembering is not always done for the right reasons and not always done well. I read on a Newsline article just day before yesterday, on November 23rd, that a 95-year-old German man has been charged as an accessory to more than 36,000 deaths at the Mauthausen concentration camp, death camp, just outside of Linz, Austria. He is 95 years old now, and my thinking immediately went, but he's somebody's grandpa, he's somebody's brother, he's somebody's brother-in-law, he's somebody's husband. And what will this help now to remember his involvement in that? And how was he involved? He was a guard at the concentration camp. Nowhere in the article did it say anything about that he tried to influence this in a positive way. We, as a people, as a culture, immediately associate death camps with Holocaust, with Jews' extermination procedures. And then the momentum swings, well, that was bad. And then we've kind of written off that person as being on the bad side of the fence. And we kind of just want to leave it there. Is it that simple? Is remembering in this case a good thing? What will they achieve by this? We talked about this a little in Sunday school, and the choices that you had as a young man in Germany at the time was that either you went to the military and served your time, or you were dead. So, did this young man have a choice? We don't know what life he lived. We don't know how many times he begged God for forgiveness and would have received forgiveness from God for having done it. If I think of remembering and commemorating those in my life that have gone on, I think immediately of my grandpa. And he went through some pretty tough times. And I stand here today, I'm positive, because of what the stance that he took in living his faith. So I do well to remember that, and to draw courage from it, and to move on with it. I had my Sunday school students write in point form their tribute to themselves at their funeral day today. They thought it was weird. But it says, we are on a course where we can start that today. You can influence what's going to be said about you at your funeral. Do we actually live that today? Do we want to be remembered for that? If we remember for the sake of being grateful, and if it turns our hearts to worship our Lord and Savior, then it's a good thing. Let us pray that this is be so. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you this last day of this church calendar year, and we are reminded that our lives are not forever here on this earth. There's a list of people in our bulletin and more outside of it that were here just a little while ago and are not anymore, at least not their bodies. You've taken them home. And we are so grateful that you did not do a remembering them in their past, but that you remembered them through the lens of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And that it's through that that we can actually come to you. And so as we remember today, may it be with grace in our hearts, with love, with joy, knowing that these people are in your hands, they are well taken care of, and that we will see them again someday. Because you've invited us all, if we confess our sins, you will be faithful and just and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And for that we are grateful. May you be praised, glorified, and honored forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. There we go. So I am not Ingrid or Char, but Ingrid will be doing offertory for me. Let's stand to sing Cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. The next song we'll sing is Sweetly Resting. It is a hymn, but it's not in your hymn book. And we will be singing this again later after the memorial service, but with different words. So just enjoy these words now and enjoy the other ones later. In the rifted rock I'm resting,
sweetly resting in that cleft once made for me.
Peace which passeth. Thank you. You may be seated.
I will ask the ushers to come forward and take this morning's offering at this time, please. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, this last calendar year, church year. This Sunday, commemorating those who have gone before us, whether very recently or in the not so recent past. And we thank you for the examples of faithfulness and integrity, of love and joyfulness, of sensitivity and prayerfulness that they lived for us to see and to learn from. And for the many others that are not listed, we thank you. We thank you that you receive them as you receive us, and that your grace covers our past. We are grateful. We are thankful that you invite us into your kingdom work in new ways that will stretch us, that will challenge our existing beliefs and cause us growth in faith in you, in ways that we had never imagined. And we pray that you would help us today to be faithful to your calling and to accept the challenge that you place before us, and in all of those circumstances, to be thankful, as Paul writes. We thank you for each individual here, for those that we mentioned before that are out and abroad in different settings serving you, for those that are anticipating travel and coming home, for those that would love to come back home for a bit. We pray for each one of them. And as we support them from a distance, as we love them from a distance, as we think about them and pray for them, would you send your Spirit on them? Would you send your Spirit on this place this morning, on Pastor Rudy, as he speaks to us and as we commemorate those? We pray that we as a church would be found faithful in your service, and that you would be honored and glorified to be called our Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Every year, the church recognizes a new year by the coming of Advent, when we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. After Christmas, we move to the coming of the wise men and the baptism of Jesus. And then a few weeks are spent focusing on the earthly ministry of Jesus. Shortly after, we turn our attention to the season of Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter, in which Jesus prepares to go to Jerusalem, there to be met by fierce opposition and eventual death on a cross. But the grave could not contain the Lord of life, and so we celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. And then our focus shifts to Pentecost, the emergence of the early church, its mission of being sent out into all the world, until we arrive again at the end of the church year, usually the last or second last Sunday of November, in which we remember all those among us who have passed away in the previous year. We light this candle as a symbol of Jesus, who said, "I am the light of the world." We light this candle to be reminded of how the light of Christ shines truth into our lives, transforming the darkness. We light it to be reminded of the light of God's presence. Each candle that we light also reminds us of the light which the people that we remember brought into our lives. We light the candle in order to be reminded of the life that we remember. The light of their influence shines on in our lives. Every name on the list represents a life lived in relationship with other people, a life that was precious and now is gone. We remember and keenly feel the loss that we have experienced this past year. These people have gone on before us. They have been called home to their eternal rest. We grieve, but not as those who have no hope, and we look forward to the time of meeting again. As we go through the names, I would invite someone who represents the family to take a candle, to light it, and to place it in the folder. I would suggest that we would start with a back row, so it's easier to light all the candles if the back rows are filled first. If there isn't somebody here from this family, then I would invite Kathy to light a family on their, to light a candle on their behalf. Let's go through the reading of the names. I would invite you to follow along, if you care to do so, from the names in your bulletin. We begin with Peter P. Letkemen, 102 of Morden, formerly of Haskett, passed away on December 6, 2017. He's the uncle of Caroline and Armin Entz and their family. Ruth Schrader, Knee Harder, 60, of Altona, formerly of Sewers, passed away on December 20th, 2017. She's the daughter-in-law of the late Gigi and Tina Schrader and their family. Sarah Penner Neustater, Knee Sawatsky, 92 of Altona, passed away on January 5th, 2018. The mother of Tina and Edward Dick and their family. David Siemens, 86 of Stonewall, passed away January 14th, 2018, is the uncle of Linda Penner, Bev and Ray Friesen, Kelly and Paul McDonald, and their family. Mary Giesbrech, Knee Martins, 54, of the Grimsby District, formerly of Blumenfeld, passed away January 30th, 2018. She's the mother of Lisa and Matt Cron, and grandmother of Jace and Grayson, sister-in-law of Pam and Maureen Peters and family. Alfred Fred Entz, 67 of Winkler, formerly of Rhineland, passed away March the 10th, 2018. Survived by his wife Betty Entz, his children Helen, Andrew, and Donovan, his mother Betty Entz of Morden, sister Monica, numerous aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, and cousins. Elma Friesen, 84 of Winnipeg, passed away March 11th, 2018. The aunt of Gary and Carla Fair, Grant and Glenda Fair, Glenn and Pat Fair, Elma Fair, Irma and Jake Fraes, Laura and Raymond DeRigas, and their family. Helen Redekop, Knee Peters, 92 of Winnipeg, passed away March 20th, 2018. Sister of Paul J. and Elizabeth Peters, and the aunt of Ray and Corrine, Eric and Ovina, Norman, and their families. Mary Clausen, Knee Franz, 85 of Winkler, formerly of Blumenort, passed away April 15th, 2018. She's the mother of Ingrid and Menno Dick, Ray and Char Clausen, Arne and Margot Clausen, Luella and David Sebau, grandmother of Carrie and Jen Dick, Janessa, Bernie Dampus, Seth and Erica Clausen, Luke Clausen, the great-grandmother of Braxton Dick, the aunt of Rudy and Kathy Franz, and their family. Abe Fair, 59 of Winkler, formerly of Rosengart, passed away on April 26, 2018. The uncle of Sheldon and Sherry Fair and their family. Margaret Elias, 91 of Winkler, passed away May 3rd, 2018, as the aunt of Caroline and Armin Entz and their family. Susan Bergen, niece Siemens, 94 of Plum Coulee, formerly of Birchfeld, passed away June 7th, 2018. As the mother of Linda Penner, grandmother of Darren Jessica Penner, Melissa and Jonathan Weeb, David, Colin, Carl, Cora, Raven, and Austin. Great-grandmother of numerous great-grandchildren, and an aunt to Bev and Ray Friesen, Kelly and Paul McDonald, and their families. Matilda, Tilly Jansen, Nee Letkeman, 90 of Morden, formerly of McGregor, passed away June 8, 2018. It's the aunt of Carolyn and Armin Entz and their family. Anne Friesen, Nee Neufeld, 97 of Eltona, formerly of Halbstadt, passed away July 14, 2018. The mother of Ray and Bev Friesen, grandmother of JC and Carmen Friesen, great-grandmother of Colt and Finley. She's coming. Irene Papp, Nee Dick, 96 of Winnipeg, passed away July 6, 2018, sister-in-law of Margaret Dick. Linda Dick, 62 of Fort McLeod, Alberta, passed away July 29, 2018. Cousin of Jake and Agatha Falk, Larry and Helena Falk, John H. and Haiti Falk, John G. and Esther Falk, and their family. Peter E. Hildebrandt, 93 of Altona, formerly of Blumenort, passed away August 22, 2018. Survived by his daughter, Sandra Clausen, sons Ed and Joyce Hildebrandt, Richard and Dorothy Hildebrandt, his sister Eva Schallenberg, his grandchildren, Michael, Randy, and Christopher and Brittany Clausen, Jody and Ryan Friesen, Jeremy and Megan Hildebrandt, and great-grandchildren Bennett, Rowan, and Karis Friesen. Alfred Fred Rempel, 74 of Carmen, passed away August 29, 2018, is the cousin of Caroline and Armin Entz. Rita Drieger, née Schrader, 64 of Altona, formerly of Zilberfeld, passed away September 11th, 2018. She's the mother of Tammy and Enrique Lowen, and grandmother of Peyton Lowen. Helen Weeb, née Bergen, 88 of Grenthal, formerly of Tolstoy, passed away September 18, 2018. The aunt of Dorothy and Richard Hildebrandt. Peter Clausen, 62 of Winkler, passed away September 24, 2018. The uncle of Dorothy and Richard Hildebrandt. John Cron, 89 of Winkler, passed away September 27, 2018. A brother-in-law of Elizabeth and Paul J. Peters. Uncle of Ray and Corrine, Eric and Ovina, Norman and their families. Helen Schepansky, née Weeb, 87 of Winkler, formerly of Cortiz, passed away October 8, 2018. The aunt of Dorothy and Richard Hildebrandt. Anne Welk, née Enns, 87 of Winnipeg, passed away October 12, 2018. The mother of Heidi and John Falk and their family. Isaac Peters, 72 of Winkler, passed away October 13th, 2018. He's the grandfather of Eric, Erica, and Seth Clausen. Lena Rempel, 95 of Winkler, of Winnipeg, formerly of Winkler, passed away October 16th, 2018. Sister to Peter Rempel and family. Trudy Harms, née Stace, 97 of Altona, formerly of Hauptstadt, passed away October 22, 2018. Mother of Tony and Judy Harms and their family. We have additional candles and additional holders here. If you would like to come and light a candle for someone that you want to remember, someone who's passed away more recently or somebody from a long time ago, we invite you to come and fill up these rest of these holders. Please come. think if you press it down a little bit more, it'll stay. It's a lot of candles, it's a lot of light, it's a lot of memories, it's a lot of connections. Thank you for your participation. I think Kirsten and myself must have been thinking along the same lines because I had the same song in mind to sing at this point. But the song or the words are a direct translation of the German, which I really appreciate. And I would invite us to stand to sing In the Rifted Rock with the alternate translated words that would be up on the screen. I'm going to sing the first verse on my own, invite you to join me for the course, and let's stand and sing the rest of the song together.
When I'm lonely and defenseless, my heart longs for rest and peace. Then you spread your wings of caring, with your love you cover me. Under your soft wings of mercy, my soul rests and is renewed. For you shelter me with kindness, in me covered close to you. When I'm pressed by grief and trouble, you alone can rescue me. Refuge from all fears and worries, you my comfort cover me. Under your soft wings of mercy, my soul rests and is renewed. For you shelter me with kindness, keep me covered close to you. Confident and gently hidden, I find sweet distress in you. Through the storms of life you hold me, Lord, your feathers cover me. Under your soft wings of mercy, my soul rests and is renewed. For you shelter me with kindness, keep me covered close to you.
Let us pray. Lord, this morning we are reminded that all those whose names we have read are precious and worthy in your sight. You formed and knew them all before any of them knew you. Each of them were precious and loved among the families and friends who knew them so well. We do miss them and grieve the loss they represent, not only today but also into the future. And so we ask that you would guard and keep them well. We know you will take good care of them, yet we need to ask it anyway. In the same way that you keep watch over them, holding them in safe and protecting arms, we ask that you would do the same for us. We who are left for a little while longer, lead us onward in our journey of grief and with all its twists and turns. Thank you for life-giving memories, cherished ones, by which you have made a way for us to gain emotional release from our losses. Thank you that we do not travel this road alone. For your presence within and among us, and for the community of faith which surrounds us, and for the blessed hope of the resurrection, we give you our thanks. Amen. You may be seated.
The next piece we'll sing is called Longing for Light. It might be new to some of you, but the words are really meaningful. So if you don't know it and you would rather not learn a new song, just listen to the words. But if you want to, please sing along. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church, gathered today. Longing for peace, our world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. Your word alone has power to save us. Make us your living voice. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church gathered today. Longing for food, many are hungry. Longing for water, many still thirst. Make us your bread, broken for others, shared until all are fed. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church gathered today. Longing for shelter, many are homeless. Longing for warmth, many are cold. Make us your building, sheltering others, walls of shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church gathered today. Many the gifts, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to be loved. Let us be servants to one another, making your kingdom come. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church gathered today.
Good morning. Our reading today is Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then will I ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day.
For today, I was drawn back to the words that were spoken by Philip Yancey 2 weeks after the shootings at Virginia Tech back in April 2007. I'm going to adapt some of that material for this morning. It would be really nice to promise a life free from pain and hurt and grief. It would be nice, but unrealistic. Hopeful, but impossible. So it is important to know that the grief, though, will ease, the pain will subside, but it never quite completely goes away. Sometimes it comes back in fierce and unexpected ways, triggered by a sound, a smell, or a fragment of memory. And so we need to honor the grief that we feel. The pain is a way of honoring those who have passed away. And the pain is also a sign of life and love. It offers proof of life, of connection, that something or someone mattered to us. Beyond this, where else do we turn for some direction with our questions and doubts and fears? We come to church to worship. That's where we need to go. To the community of faith, to the scriptures, to its author. Like Peter, the disciple who once said to Jesus at a moment of confusion and doubt, Lord, to whom else would we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. When we look at the scriptures, we notice that there is only one scene in which someone addresses Jesus as God, my Lord and my God. Who said that? It was none other than doubting Thomas, the disciple stuck in grief, the last holdout against believing the incredible news of the resurrection. And in that really tender scene, if you can imagine that, Jesus comes to Thomas. And what was it that prompted his response? Was it not the presence of the scars? Feel my hands, Jesus told him. Touch my side. And in that moment of recognition, Thomas saw the wonder of Almighty God, the Lord of the entire universe, stooping to take on our pain. The recognition that God doesn't exempt even himself from this pain. It's actually instructive that Christianity is the only religion that has a God who bleeds. No other religions have that. God joined us and shared our human condition, including that of its great grief. Thomas recognized in that pattern the most fundamental truth of the universe, that God is love. And to love means that at times we hurt and we grieve. Pain is thus a mark of life. And Jesus responded to the tragedies of his day with compassion, which simply means to suffer with. He responded with comfort and with healing. He also, with tears on his face and a broken heart and a beat up body, stretched out his nail-pierced hands upon a cruel cross. It is ironic that we remember that day not as Dark Friday or Tragic Friday or Disaster Friday, but as Good Friday. In 2006, reporters from every major country swarmed the hills of Pennsylvania following the deadly shootings at the Amish school near Nickel Mines. They all came to report on evil, and instead ended up reporting on the church. The Amish were not asking, where is God when it hurts? They knew where God was. With their long history of persecution, the Amish weren't for a minute surprised by the outbreak of evil. They rallied together. They even embraced the killer's family. They ministered to each other and healed wounds. By relying on a sense of community that had been strengthened over centuries of time. Was it easy and painless? By no means. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said. Those who hunger and thirst, those who mourn and those who are persecuted. And Jesus voluntarily embraced every one of those hurts. The Amish were simply following his lead. Philip Yancey writes that in 2007, he was driving on a winding road in Colorado, and suddenly he missed a curve and my Ford Explorer skipped off the pavement and started tumbling side to side at 60 miles an hour. An ambulance appeared, and he said, I spent the next 7 hours strapped to a bodyboard with duct tape across my head to keep it from moving. A CAT scan showed that a vertebrae high up on my neck had been shattered, and sharp bone fragments were pointing out next to a major artery. So the hospital had arranged for a jet to fly me to Denver for emergency surgery. I had one arm free with a cell phone and a little battery time left. And so I spent that time calling people close to me, knowing that it might be the last time I would ever hear their voices. It was really an odd sensation to lie there helpless, aware that though I was fully conscious, at any moment, I could die. Samuel Johnson said, when a man is about to be hanged, it concentrates his mind wonderfully. When you're strapped to a bodyboard after a serious accident, it definitely concentrates the mind. I realized how much of my life focused on trivial things, and during those 7 hours, I didn't think about how many books I'd written, what kind of a car I drove. It was being towed to the junkyard anyway. And all that mattered boiled down to four questions. Four basic questions. Whom do I love? And whom will I miss? What have I done with my life? And number four, am I ready for what's next? What if we lived our life with those questions at the forefront? Our life, the decisions we make, the kind of people we are, matters now, today, and always. If we wanted to be really brief, we could say that the Christian view of the world involves three statements. The world is good, the world has fallen, the world will be redeemed. Creation, fall, and redemption. We know the world is good. There are good people. Good things do happen. There's laughter, surprise, friendship, sharing and caring. There are blue skies, bright sunshine, mountains and fall colors. The world is good. The world has fallen. There are school shootings, disease, greed, corruption. Sin seems to abound. There's jealousy, mistrust, death, pain, and sorrow. This morning, the invitation is to trust that the world will be redeemed because God has promised such a thing. God has promised that even the scars we accumulate on this fallen planet will be redeemed, as Jesus demonstrated to Thomas himself. There's a phrase written by author Dallas Willard which says, for those who love God, nothing irredeemable can happen to you. Paul makes that claim in Romans 8, that all things can be redeemed, can work together for good. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, God told him. So Paul responds, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ, Jesus our Lord. God's love is that foundational truth of the universe. We are always invited to trust a God who can redeem what now seems unredeemable, and reminded again that the events, the awful events of Good Friday, led to the salvation of the world, to Easter, an echo in advance of God's bright promise to make all things new. We just sang the song earlier, "In the Rifted Rock I'm Resting." If you recall verse 3, it says, "Peace which passes understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in his smiles of love I live. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee." It resonates so well with the words from Psalm 46 and Psalm 61. "You are my refuge." The psalmist is at the end of the earth, a metaphor being at the end of one's resources. His courage and resolve are exhausted. His heart is faint. The enemy is near. He is in trouble. "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Whenever I read that, I always have this image of a massive, turbulent mass of swirling water which threatens to engulf his life. In such a time, indeed at all times, we need a rock that is stable, something solid, something that is higher than we are, a refuge that can anchor our soul in the midst of the anxieties of life. Refuge in Psalms is always a metaphor for God's care and protection, used both as a noun and a verb, along with similar words like fortress, stronghold, shelter, shadow, shade of the wings of the Lord. "Lead me, Lord, help me to reach safety, that which I cannot find on my own." Notice he says, "I will sing praises to your name as I pay my vows day after day." Every day he has something to commit himself to and do. Every day he is focused. Every day, one day at a time. No day is missed. I believe that is wise counsel. For how do we live in the midst of trial, loss, and rejoicing? Every day. We need to sing some, pray some, fulfill our commitments every day, every day. There's something we are called to believe and live out every day, every day. And finally, "You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." Our lives in the church are not lived in a vacuum. We are surrounded by the gift of mentors and role models and examples, a godly heritage that is life-giving. A heritage of those who have shown us the way and who have ended well. And so to those we have specifically mentioned in our memorial service today, and to all others who come to mind, we say the following. Into your tender hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your beloved servants. Acknowledge them, we pray, as sheep of your fold, as lambs of your own flock, as sinners of your redeeming. Receive them into the arms of your abiding mercy, into the rest of your everlasting peace, into the glorious company of those who dwell in your light. And may your kingdom of peace come quickly. Amen.
Let's stand to sing 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never. it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to fight. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Yeah, I'll worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name.
From 2 Thessalonians 2:16, the words of her benediction. Let's pray. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. The Lord bless you and keep you today and always. Amen.